You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Big drama at the United States Capitol. It's all happening just about three blocks from where I'm sitting right now. We could hear the, we could see the helicopter landing. We could hear all the noise from the front of our building. And Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service is on the line with us. Victoria, I understand you're at the White House.
Yes, I've been at the White House. I just actually walked out of the White House. They just opened it for us to leave, although the Pennsylvania is closed down. We just have mounted patrols going by, and then we just have motorbikes and cars. There are an awful lot of police here on Pennsylvania Avenue where there's a police cordon blocking us off. I'm unable at this point to leave Pennsylvania Avenue, but they're about to let me out. Apparently, what we're being told happened was somebody tried to ram the White House gate and then fled to the Capitol. That's what we've been told happened, although nobody who I have spoken to witnessed that. Hmm. I can tell you that the White House, I certainly spoke to a photographer who heard one of the, heard sharpshooters lock and load their guns, and I saw them just a few minutes ago walking the roof of the White House with purpose.
Yeah. So the it seems that the story is that the that somebody driving a black SUV is what I'm getting from some of the news feeds tried to breach White House security, whether
Correct.
They tried to run the gate or whether they just, you know, got into something with a guard or who knows, couldn't get into the White House, turned around and drove down what, Independence toward the Capitol
yeah.
building along
yeah.
the mall. Got to the Capitol building. At that point, shots were fired. It may well have been the police stopping the driver. And somebody has been medevaced out by helicopter from a helicopter that landed on the mall, which is in front of the Capitol building in the area where people stand when the president is sworn in. And we don't know if that is the person who was driving the car or if the person who was driving the car injured somebody. And we don't know if the car was an attempt to drive a Tim McVeigh kind of bomb in there or if this was just some, you know, drunk who... nobody knows, right?
We don't know. We don't know who the person was who was injured, although there have been reports that it was a police officer. There were also some reports saying that there was more than one person injured, but there have been conflicting reports about that. I saw reports of as many as three injured, but then I saw other reports that only one person was injured. So I've seen conflicting reports on injuries.
Right. And in the midst of this, I mean, we've been hearing here the bullhorns going off over at the Capitol building, telling people to run, and you know, apparently the tourists were scattering on the
mall. Yes. I read reports of. I had a tweet of one reporter literally being pulled inside the building by a police officer physically.
Right, shelter in place was the command that was given out, which
yes.
means basically, you know, stay where you are, hide under the desk, lock the door, you know, just look out. Be where you are. But this is now over.
Well, at the White House, they're allowing us to leave the White House complex and go into the White House complex. And now I'm understanding that I will be able to leave the Pennsylvania Avenue direct area that is always cordoned off. Whether I will be allowed to come back in is another thing. They're being pretty strict about that. My normal route into the White House is blocked off, having to go what's known as the long way round. I can't walk up through Lafayette Park, which would be the normal route to go. That is blocked off.
Right. Okay. So it's like, you know, just it's the same kind of just and maybe not the same kind of, but it's a variation on the just insanely wild. I don't mean insanely as a bad word. I mean just very, very intense security here in Washington, D.C., as we saw a couple of weeks ago when the Navy Yard shooter happened.
It's very intense. It's very intense today. I'm really quite astounded. And I've also just seen a report in the Washington Post that if the, and I have to mention this because I do think it's significant, that if the shutdown continues beyond a couple of weeks, the pay of the Capitol Police will be delayed.
Brilliant.
Yes.
The guys who are defending the Capitol, the Republicans have cut off their pay?
The pay will be delayed. And I haven't had a chance to print that story out, so I'm only mentioning it from memory now, but it's a story that's just appeared in the politics section of the Washington Post.
Yeah. The headline on the Washington Post, the subhead says at least one officer injured in incident, authorities say.
So at least, okay. So they're not sure of the number, but it could be more.
Remarkable.
Extraordinary. It's just an extraordinary time. Extraordinary time.
It is, and it's these hyper-partisan eras. Have you, by the way, this may seem off-topic, but it's not. Have you seen Robert Reich's movie Inequality for All? It's playing over at the E Street Theater.
No, I have not.
Let me recommend that. He it's basically an analysis of America from, you know, basically the Great Depression to today. And one of the things that he points out is that during times of greatest economic inequality, we also have times of greatest political polarization. And during those times of greatest political polarization, we have the greatest levels of just general insanity and politically associated violence. And I find that just fascinating.
It is fascinating, and it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really extraordinary movie.
Wow.
You know, maybe apropos of what's going on today, maybe not, but these are very strange times. You were in the White House when this happened. Did you notice any White House staff? Were people running around like chickens, or was everything calm, cool, and collected?
No, everybody seemed to be in meetings. In fact, I found out about it as I was actually trying to leave and realized I couldn't leave. And then people found out about it, photographers, people found out about it through just trickling out. It was one of those things where you could see people were finding out about it through their Twitter accounts. As was a slow trickle of people finding out, oh, this has just happened. There was no rush. There was no loud noise. There was no running around, nothing like that. It was just a trickle of more and more people coming out to see what was going on.
Yeah.
It's very, very surreal, actually.
Yeah.
I was one of the first there, one of the first three or four, just because I happened to be leaving at that time and realized I couldn't get out. And there were all these tourists on the wrong side of the road because they'd all been blocked off. And there were horses. And I was thinking to myself, I don't want there to be horses if there's a shooter.
Yes. Yes. Extraordinary times here in the U.S. Capitol. So we have just about a minute before the break here. If you could just recap everything that we know for right now.
Well, there's a great deal we don't know. We understand that there was somebody who tried to breach White House security, was thwarted, fled off down Independence Avenue to the U.S. Capitol, and shots were fired and was stopped by the Capitol Police. But somebody was injured. We believe it was a Capitol Police officer. At least one person was injured. We're hearing they were medevaced out, and the shooter is in custody.
Okay. And the Capitol Police officer is apparently going to start losing their pace soon as a result of this government
shutdown. Within a couple of weeks, yeah. And the Capitol is still in lockdown, but the White House complex is no longer in lockdown.
Okay. And no word who the person is who is driving. Have you heard the confirmation that it was a black SUV?
I've only seen that on Twitter.
Okay.
So I don't consider that confirmation.
Yeah. And, a witness, black car followed by police cars. This is from the Washington Post.
I would consider that more reliable. I've just seen it tweeted, so I wouldn't trust that.
Yeah. And the lockdown has now been lifted both at the White House, because you've walked outside now. You're standing just outside the White House, and it's also been lifted at the Capitol. So, extraordinary. Victoria, would you like to stick around for a couple minutes, and we can just go over this a little bit more?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Happy to stick around just for a couple, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. For another three or four, just hang on for this break. Victoria Jones with us with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, at the White House. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Once again, somebody attempted to breach the security at the White House. They were unsuccessful. They fled to the Capitol building where they were stopped. That's all we know so far. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. The Washington Post reporting that a male being, TV footage showed a male being, I think that sentence is supposed to be, well, there's supposed to be more to that sentence. The Washington Post, updating as we read it. They're just tossing these stories out. But the D.C. Fire and Emergency Services said one person had been transported to a hospital for treatment. Both the House and Senate are in recess, by the way. Another interesting piece of news, this from the front page of today's Washington Post, is that according to aides to John Boehner, now I don't know if this is official or if it's not, is that John Boehner is not going to allow us to default on our debt. The president gave a speech this morning, and just before this guy tried to, assuming it's a man, this is what's being reported by the Washington Post, a fellow tried to breach the security at the White House around the time that the president was speaking or shortly thereafter this morning, just, you know, an hour or so ago. And then when he was unsuccessful in getting into the White House, and we don't know why he was trying to get into the White House. Was it, you know, one guy with a note that he wanted to deliver, or was it somebody with a gun, or was it somebody who had a bomb in the back of his car? Nobody knows. Okay. So it's just, this is all speculation other than it was a black SUV, which, by the way, are the standard issue government vehicles in this town. You see these black SUVs everywhere. These, they're like Chevy Suburban types, you know, these big black SUVs. And so could it have been somebody who was a federal employee who had access to one of these vehicles? Could it be a stolen vehicle? Could it be somebody who just had a black SUV and thought that that would give them a better chance of getting into the White House? Nobody knows. This is all speculation. We're just waiting to find out. And so time will tell. But that person, what we do know is that person tried to breach White House security and then drove over to the Capitol building, which is, if you're familiar with how Washington, D.C. is constructed, there is this long mall. On one end of it is the U.S. Capitol, and it's like it's a lawn that just goes about 15 blocks. It goes down to about 15th Street or maybe a little farther than that. And 15, 16 blocks. At one end is the U.S. Capitol. At the other end is the Washington Memorial. And then it kind of L's off the Washington Memorial. If you were looking at it from the air, it would L off to the right, which I believe would be to the east. And, another grass lawn coming from the Washington Memorial that leads to the White House. So you can, you know, just kind of walk it. And a lot of people do, actually, and I have. And so the Pennsylvania Avenue and Independence, you know, two sides of the mall, they just, you know, run down on either side of that mall. Pennsylvania, not so much. It's Independence and Constitution, I believe, are the two that are on the sides of the mall. So this guy just, you know, went rip-roaring down the street to the Capitol from the White House, and in front of the Capitol building, he was stopped. Now, whether the gunshots were police officers shooting the driver or shooting the tires out or what, or whether the shooter, you know, the police were getting close enough that the shooter decided to take a shot at a police officer, nobody knows. One person has been taken to a hospital, and there are reports that another person is in custody. Whether that's one and the same, we don't know. So I'm guessing sometime right now, Justin Duckham of the Talk Radio News Service is in a press briefing about this. And as soon as that press briefing is finished, Justin is going to call in and he will be with us live on the air. So we'll fill you in on this. So for the moment, this is high drama in Washington, D.C. I'm not so sure that it's a national story, but it may well be. I mean, it all depends on, you know, what the intent of the person driving this car was. You know, was it just some crazy guy? Was it just somebody who was drunk? Was it somebody who had a grudge? Was it somebody, you know, or was it somebody who actually had some serious weaponry who was trying to do something to the White House or to the president? You know, it's interesting, since President Obama became president, the FBI has broken up more credible plots to assassinate the president than in any other presidency in the history of America. And the best guess around why is because he's the first African-American president of the United States. But there have been a number, last count I heard was 8, and it's probably gone up since then, because that was a year or so ago that we had somebody who was an expert on this stuff on this program talking about it. Whether this was an attempt to get to the president, or whether it was just an attempt to get somebody to pay attention, was this a Joe Stack kind of thing? You know, Joe Stack flew that little airplane into the IRS building down in Dallas, died himself, and he killed a fellow who worked for the IRS in the process, who was just, you know, doing his job, just sitting at his desk. All of a sudden, an airplane comes through the window and blows up. Whether it was that kind of attempt, America has an odd history of these kind of things happening. We have become a hyper-hysterical, hyper-militarized, hyper-vigilant society. And these billionaire efforts to strip us of our social safety net and devastate the middle class via Reaganomics and trickle-down economics and tax cuts for the rich and global free trade, you know, send the jobs to the cheapest country possible, all these efforts that are being driven by these transnational corporations and right-wing billionaires have, and the National Rifle Association representing the interests of the multi-billion-dollar-a-year weapons manufacturing industry, have really put this country on edge. Really put this country on edge. So we'll see if there's any association between that and what just happened or not. We'll be back with more on this right after the break. The news at the bottom of the stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
So, shooting at the Capitol, we don't know who the shooter was. We know somebody was injured and medevaced out. We'll have more as we talk. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., and also live in Washington, D.C., Congressman Charlie Rangel. U.S. Congressman from the 13th District, and Rangel, R-A-N-G-E-L, .house.gov. In my opinion, one of the most thoughtful, insightful, knowledgeable, and distinguished members of the United States House of Representatives. Congressman Charles Rangel, I should say. Congressman Rangel, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tom. My only wish is that my wife could have heard everything that you've said.
we'll send you a tape. You were apparently in the Capitol building. Before we get to the politics of the day, because I did want to talk with you about the government shutdown. You have lived through. You were in the House of Representatives back during the Clinton era when Newt Gingrich tried to pull this stunt. And I want to get to that. But just first of all, what's the latest that you're hearing about this person? CBS is reporting it was apparently a woman who was driving this SUV.
Well, let me tell you, you'll know just as much as I from the outside. But from the inside, there was a new congressman that was challenging the chair. The chair was screaming that he was out of order, and he was continuing to speak. And it was very unusual because the young fella either didn't know the House rules or didn't care about the House rules, and the chair was out. And then at the same time this was going on, I was talking with Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, and Congressman John Lewis swing open the Capitol doors, and they're running in. I thought maybe the sergeant-at-arms was going to chastise, which I never heard of, the member that was speaking, even though he wasn't recognized, which I never heard of that either. Mm. Instead, they sat down with a lady and told me that there was shooting outside of the Capitol and that they were locking it down. Well, I saw them come through the door, and as I went to open the door, it was locked. And so we all were locked into the Capitol. We put on the television. There was no information. There were no Capitol police. They're not allowed on the Capitol floor of the Congress. And so we did have a television in what we call the cloakroom, one in a Democratic, one in a Republican. And it was there that we found out that there was somebody that had shot up something around here. And then ultimately they let us out of the Capitol to tell us to take the tunnel to get to our offices that were locked down. I had to knock on the door and identify myself to get into my office. Since that time, the lockdown has been lifted. The police, I guess, very confident that there was not a second shooter. The doors are unlocked, and I'm here talking with a constituent.
Remarkable story. By the way, was the member who refused to stop talking a Tea Partier?
No, he was. He was saying that as a new member, he could not understand how one person could risk the Capitol being closed. How one person could be responsible for not raising the debt ceiling and causing a fiscal calamity.
Oh, so he was objecting to John Boehner, basically.
Yes, and I have all day been saying that with all of the power that our corporate structure has accumulated individually, the trillions of dollars that are out there that they have been able to prosper during the recession, and while so many people are unemployed. And then on the other side, the religious leaders, the who don't listen to the Pope, but they say that, you know, that Jesus would want them to have food for the hungry and water for the thirsty, clothes for the naked, and health care for the sick. And everything that we're trying to do is spiritual as well as political and legislative. And I don't recall the church getting together and telling the Congress, stop this nonsense. I don't recall the private sector, the Mongols, the billionaires saying, I got my money through the American system. For God's sake, don't kill this goose. Don't let the American economy go down the drain.
Yeah.
And there's only one thing that could stop this, and that is John Boehner wakes up one morning and he says that he has given as much as he can to 50 or 40 or 50 members of his party. And they have wrecked the party. They have wrecked the leadership. They have wrecked the Congress in terms of working together. But I'd be damned if he's going to let them wreck the country. And he would be maybe not the speaker that long, but he certainly would be a national hero that would have looked like the savior of our economy, of our country. And it only takes him just to release and have a vote. That's all. Give us a vote.
In other words, there is a clean continuing resolution to keep the government running bill that the Senate passed and sent back to the House on John Boehner's desk. And if he simply put this to a vote in the House of Representatives, it would almost certainly pass. And he's refusing to allow the members of the House, both his Republicans and you in the Democratic caucus, he's refusing to allow you members of the House of Representatives. We're talking to Congressman Charles Rangel of New York. He's refusing to allow you to vote on this continuing resolution, and thus he, one single member of the House of Representatives, is single-handedly keeping the government closed. Is that an accurate statement?
That is accurate, and what makes it more painful to our Democrats is that the amount of money, the $96 billion, is far below what every Democrat thinks is necessary to spur the economy and provide incentives for infrastructure and for jobs and for to help the poor. We think that number is low, but we know we can't fight about it if the government is closed. And so we're saying what the president is telling to the Republican, keep the government open and then continue to show the differences of opinion we have with the budget and with other issues. And he's willing, the president is willing to debate the issues, but he's not willing to allow them to attempt to shut out the Affordable Care. If the president wanted to do it, he couldn't do it. And they know this. John Boehner is an intelligent, professional politician, and he knows that the president cannot just repeal laws.
Remarkable. By the way, just as an update, this is the latest via Channel 7, ABC TV affiliate here in Washington, D.C., and they're reporting, and I'll just read their report from WJLA. Authorities shot and killed a woman Thursday afternoon outside the U.S. Capitol after she attempted to drive her vehicle through a barricade, police tell ABC 7. The incident reportedly began when an unidentified woman tried to drive through a barricade at the White House. She had a child in the backseat of her vehicle. The woman fled the area and ended up at the Capitol, where she reportedly tried to drive through another barricade. Authorities opened fire on the vehicle, killing the woman, authorities say. And they report a child in the vehicle is unharmed. So this is...
Something doesn't make sense. Too many people heard gunshots on the Hill.
Yeah.
In front of the Senate, so...
Yeah. Well, apparently the police were shooting at her car pretty aggressively. So, but we'll see how this story plays out.
Well, everyone's safe, and I think, and Capitol Police, we don't thank them enough every day.
Well, in fact, Congressman Rangel, Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service was on our program earlier, and she said that her understanding is that the pay for the Capitol Police will stop in about a week if the government continues to be shut down.
Oh, my God, I can't believe. No, I don't think that's true. And now, with things being so bad, almost any rumor now looks like it could make some sense. But you can bet your life, Tom, that the security of members of Congress would not be lessened by this. No pain is being felt by the people that's shutting down the government at all. As a matter of fact, no inconveniences. The people that are holding John Boehner hostage, when they refuse to accept the clean, continued resolution, was shouting and laughing with glee. Hmm. There are some people in this country that hate government so much, and Obama as well, that they are willing to see this government collapse with some odd thinking that they can rebuild it with the ideology.
In the image of Ayn Rand, this government that George Washington had three horses shot out from under him to create, they're trying to take it down. It's amazing.
And they think they try to take it down, but they enjoy Medicare, they enjoy Social Security,
right,
they enjoy the benefits of being protected.
Right. This government that you fought in Korea to defend, if I'm remembering correctly, sir.
Not only did I fight, but there's so many young people that offered their lives to have just a government, not that they like, but they can improve.
Amen. Congressman Charles Rangel from the 13th District of New York, rangel.house.gov. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be back with more on what's going on here in Washington, D.C., and the other news of the day right after this. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And Justin Duckham, a congressional reporter for the Talk Radio News Service, was over at the United States House of Representatives, the U.S. Capitol, watching what was going on, and well, Justin, welcome back to the program.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So, give us a recap one more time of, what we know or what we think we know, and what you're being told, and then let us know what you saw.
Okay. Well, from the police that we are receiving official reports from, there is reason to believe that there was a child in the car in question. The sergeant-at-arms for the Senate has confirmed that the driver did not heed barricade warnings at the White House and then ended up leading officers on a chase down Pennsylvania Avenue over to Garfield Circle outside of the Capitol building. The police here, oddly enough, have not confirmed reports that the driver was a woman, although we are expecting to get further information at around 4:15 when they give another briefing.
Yeah, Channel 7 is reporting that, the ABC affiliate here in D.C., and they're saying that the police told them that, that it was a woman.
Right, right. No, we are seeing reports of that. I just, you know, curiously, the police did not confirm that detail yet, so we're still trying to get official confirmation on that, I guess. I also was able to speak to a number of eyewitnesses. One of them, a young man named Trevor Gilbert from Frederick, Maryland, told the press that he was able to watch the chase unfold from the top of the museum. He said that he saw about four or five cars chasing the black car down Pennsylvania Avenue, and then he reported that one police car, when pursuing the black car, was clipped by an automatic security gate that was going up to try to block off Capitol Hill, and it ended up totaling the car, although we are not able to get, he was not able to tell us whether or not he saw the driver or whether or not the police officer who was driving that vehicle suffered any injuries.
So that might be the injured police officer that we're hearing the reports of.
That could be. Again, that's, you know, just an eyewitness account. Those are always a little iffy, especially in situations like this, so I don't want to say that's an exact fact, but that is what I have been told, that there was a clipped police car and that it was totaled.
Yeah. These gates, for people who don't know what you're talking about, it's pretty amazing. This all was stuff that was put in after 9/11. They closed off a bunch of streets around here, and they've got these hydraulic gates in some places where literally a giant metal sheet just rises up that normally forms the street, and it just rises right up and becomes a barrier. And when they flip these things up, these barriers, apparently this, what you're saying, Justin, this one police car was just, you know, going along, and the barrier came up and the police car slammed into it?
That's what I'm told from the eyewitness who saw that take place.
Remarkable.
Yes.
Remarkable. And then apparently the woman who was driving the car was shot, and she's apparently dead. And we have reports of one police officer who was injured who may have been driving that car. We don't know, or it might have been an officer who was caught in crossfire, or it's conceivable that this woman was armed, although I have not seen any reports indicating that either A, she was armed, or B, that there was anything in her car, you know, of the Tim McVeigh variety.
Correct. And the D.C. police have still not confirmed where the gunshots came from, but the eyewitnesses I spoke to reported hearing about four or five loud pops that they attributed to the gunfire.
This is pretty incredible. Congressman Tim Griffin, Arkansas Republican, just tweeted out basically that President Obama, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi are to blame for this. He tweeted under hashtag disgusting, stop the violent rhetoric, President Obama, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi. And then he tweeted, is violent Democratic language resulting in real violence? He has apparently since apologized for saying that.
I've not seen those tweets, but there's absolutely no indication of a motive at this time. There's no way that we can really extrapolate that this was caused in any way by what he supposedly described as violent rhetoric. And this is still an unfolding situation, and it's grossly irresponsible to say that right now.
Yeah, you know, it's looking to me like this is suicide by cop.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't want to speculate on what this person's motives may have been. You know, it's always sort of a dangerous thing to do at this time, but it's really anybody's guess. That could very well have been the situation. It could have been somebody who was mentally ill. We just don't know right now.
Yeah, this is a real tragedy. But apparently a woman has been shot dead by Capitol Police, who, by the way, according to Victoria Jones, in the next week or two are going to start losing their pay. Charlie Rangel rather dismissed that notion on the program. He said that the police who guard the representatives, he said the representatives are being not at all inconvenienced by the government shutting down. They're making sure that all the inconveniences for the 800,000 working Americans, not themselves. Do you have any information on that?
Immediately when this happened, there was a lot of people mumbling in the Capitol that these people were already not being paid, and we're essentially acting right now without that being paid. I can't confirm whether or not they are currently, receiving pay or if it's about to run out. I'm just
the,
not
the
aware
Capitol
of that.
Police.
Correct. I do know that at least, and I spoke to from the Senate Sergeant Senator Arm's office said that he is currently, foregoing pay while still being expected to work. So I'm not sure about the, Capitol Police at large, but, when this comes out, this certainly is going to be.
So you talked to the Sergeant at Arms, and the Sergeant at Arms said.
I spoke to a member of the Sergeant at Arms staff earlier, and they did point out that.
And that person said that that person was not being paid, but they were showing up for work anyway.
That was what it was suggested to me. I don't want to get anybody in trouble in case I find
sure.
that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But that was the,
remarkable.
That was passed over to me.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
Okay, so that kind of falls into the category of hearsay conversation.
Right. I should clarify that, yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking with Justin Duckham. He's a reporter with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. You can follow him on Twitter at jduckham, J-D-U-C-K-H-A-M, and or at Political Brief. And, Justin, it was in the Capitol building when this car came after this driver tried to breach the White House security barrier, then screamed down the alongside the mall to the Capitol building, tried to breach the barrier there, and was apparently shot dead by the Capitol Police. Justin, thanks for being with us, and thanks for the report.
Thank you so much.
Great talking to you. Justin Duckham. Over at Talk Radio News, talkradionews.com. And you, as I said, you can follow his tweet at Jay Duckham. We'll be back with more of not just what's going on. We actually have a program planned for you today. Pastor Rick Joyner is going to be with us. He thinks it's time for a military coup in America. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Yesterday, we'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the shooting at the Capitol. So far, it looks like a woman tried to breach the security at the White House. She ran down to the that was unsuccessful. She then drove to the United States Capitol building, followed by police cars, and tried to breach security there. That was unsuccessful. One of the police cars got smashed up in that chase. And that police officer was apparently injured and taken to the hospital. And when she tried to breach the security at the Capitol building, she was shot dead. There is reports of a child in the car. There are some reports that there was also a man in the car and that he was injured, and he's the guy that they took out in the medevac. But no, that's all unconfirmed. As to motives, reasons, all this is unknown. Meanwhile, yesterday on his radio and TV program over at MorningstarMinistries.org, Pastor Rick Joyner, the host of Morningstar Ministries, had this to say.
Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover.
So Pastor Rick Joyner is on the line with us, the host of MorningstarMinistries.org. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. Do you really want the Egypt scenario to play out in the United States, have the military take over our government?
Absolutely not.
Why did you call for that?
Well, I didn't. And I think a lot of the some of the videos that are floating around the internet took and spliced different parts of my program together. Depends on where you got it. But
you just heard the clip we played. Was that an intact clip?
It was, I think, a couple of different parts that were put together.
Uh huh. Okay.
So, but one thing I did say, that if you don't change your direction, you're going to end up where you're headed. And I do believe where we're headed is a meltdown of our government, of the process. And I'm not just talking about a government shutdown like we're heading for here, but I believe there are much more serious issues that are eroding the foundation. And yes, I do expect at some point there will be a military takeover. I also said, this is not my desire. This is what I see coming if we don't change our direction. But I also said, which I believe, that we can change our direction And also that even if it happened, even if that we went to that extreme of such a meltdown of the system, that doesn't mean we can't get it back on track.
Well, let's hope so. This is the piece of that clip, just the tail end of it. Let me just play this for you.
I believe our only hope is a military takeover.
Now, is that not you saying that? Pastor Joyner?
The alternative would be anarchy.
Pastor Joyner, I'm sorry. I lost you from the telephone line there. But that clip that I just played for you, was that you saying, I believe our only hope is a military takeover?
Yeah, can you hear me on this?
Yeah, it's pretty bad on the Skype. If you can talk into the telephone, it'll sound a lot better.
But what I was saying, if we have the meltdown, then our only hope is a military takeover. And what I was trying to say was...
So what's going to provoke that meltdown?
Pardon?
What's going to provoke that meltdown? Are you talking about the debt ceiling thing?
No, I'm not talking about anything that's necessarily imminent. But I'm talking about things like the devaluation, immediate and fast devaluation of our currency, which I believe we're being set up for. I believe there are other factors. I believe the incredible dysfunction that we've entered into and the way the dysfunction of our government is leading to the eroding of some very basic foundations of our government, of our constitutional government, and of the moorings that it has to have for us to remain a constitutional government.
For example,
you know, our founding fathers built two basic firewalls that they said, without these, you tear these down, this republic cannot last. And they foresaw tyranny coming from two directions. They saw it coming from both the executives, or the king, or from the mob, you know, from people just out of control. And they brilliantly placed in our government and in our Constitution firewalls that would keep both in place. And they understood, I think most of them understood, you need a strong executive to prevent kind of the rule of the mob, where they run amok and control the government.
So what is it that is provoking your angst about the current state of government in America?
Okay, this may shock you, but I've been saying this for 25 years, actually since 1987. And I believe that things have continued on the course. I believe that they are, you know, at this time, many different factors are hitting us all at once.
But these are all generalities. Can you give me some specifics, please, so I can understand where you're coming from? Do you think that like Obamacare is a sign that we're at the end of the world?
No.
I think
a lot of people tend to think in extremes like that. Now, I'm not thinking in that kind of extreme.
Well, what is it? What do you see coming out of the Congress or the president's office that causes you to be as a minister and a person steeped in the history and lore of the Bible to be concerned?
Well,
in specific,
I wasn't just talking about this government. As I said, I started sounding this morning in 1987.
So you're concerned about the government of Venezuela or England?
No, I'm talking about the U.S. government.
Okay.
I'm talking about certain factors. We're headed down a course that if we don't change our direction, we're going to end up where we're headed.
Okay, so how should we change our direction? What would you propose we do?
I'm trying to answer. Okay. One thing is the QE, what is going on?
Quantitative easing?
Yes, quantitative easing.
So you think that the Fed buying toxic 50-50, 45 billion of toxic junk from the banks and 40 billion of treasury bonds every month, that is leading to the end of the world?
No.
Or the end of this republic?
Why do you keep bringing up the end of the world?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating. The end of our republic. You said, you know, something that's going to bring about a military coup. In my mind, that's almost the end of the world. You're right. So the end of our republic.
No, it's not, and that's what I was trying to say. If this happens, it doesn't mean it has to be the end of our republic. it can still be saved, even if there's a meltdown.
So how do we save it? Do we say no to the Fed? You can't buy treasuries anymore?
I'm trying to answer you. Quantitative easing is one thing that could contribute to the same thing happening here that happened in the Weimar Republic in the 30s. I was in Europe recently. There's a real concern of a...
I think your face is pushing the buttons on your phone, sir.
Hello? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's quite all right.
Well, you know, all over...
But the Weimar Republic failed because they had to, you know, the Treaty of Versailles required Germany to pay back an amount of money that was greater than the GDP, multiples greater than the GDP of Germany. They couldn't pay it back, so they devalued their currency in order to pay it back with worthless marks. We're not in that position, are we?
Well, it's not the same cause, but we're doing the same thing. We're setting up for a, I think, something that could happen very fast, where all of a sudden many people in the world will stop taking our dollars.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me say, Pastor Rick Joyner, I suspect our politics are very different, and perhaps even our religions are somewhat different, but I don't wholly disagree with that statement. Pastor Rick Joyner, MorningstarMinistries.org. Thank you for being with us, sir.
Okay, you're welcome.
We'll be back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Although I don't think that the devaluation of our dollar is going to be the end of our republic. But we'll see. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 20 minutes past the hour. And... Joe, in Chino, California, yesterday we had a caller who was saying that she was very upset that people on the Women's Infants and Children in Need program, the WIC program, which, by the way, is not being funded right now because the government is shut down, were buying junk food. You wanted to respond to that?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I'm a little confused after that last guy, so I hope I have my points straight.
Okay.
When I was in college, and I'm about your age, I worked in a grocery to put myself through school. And dealt with WIC customers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They were allowed to buy very specific things. You could get 128 ounces of whole milk, a gallon. But you couldn't get, like, low-fat milk or anything. It had to be exactly what the ticket said. Now, that was in the days before computers were in our cash registers,
right.
Which age dates myself. But I don't understand where these people think... that the WIC people are getting away with murder and buying cigarettes and candies and stuff because, you know,
you can't buy
then,
cigarettes.
You couldn't buy a candy bar.
Oh, really?
You know, okay. Yeah, on the WIC program, you could get...
I think the woman yesterday said that they were buying junk food, that they were buying sodas.
Yeah, you can't, but...
And energy drinks.
And again, I haven't been in grocery in 30 years.
Right.
But
used to be that you could.
I was doing that. Yeah, back when I was doing that, it was very strictly limited as to what they could purchase.
Yeah, we need to get somebody on who actually, you know, works with. Unfortunately, we right now when we call the Department of Human Services, we get a recording that says because the government shut down, you know, we can't take your call. Call back when John Boehner decides to hold a vote. And so I, you know, I can't get somebody on who can actually answer that question. But I do believe that you're right, Joe, that there are a lot of limitations on what you can use that WIC money for. So thanks very much for the call and for pointing that out. Victor in Lake in the Hills, Illinois. Hey, Victor.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, thanks for listening to Sirius. What's up?
What I haven't heard any talk of, and maybe it's my ignorance, but I'm just wondering, there's got to be some type of legislation or all these brains in Washington. There's got to be some way that they can figure out how to hold accountable these people that are blocking the process of the Republic's business. In other words, the Tea Party congressmen that are maliciously stopping and shutting down the government for personal gains, whatever it may be, whatever backdoor deals they got with the Koch brothers or whatever.
Right. Yeah, the problem, Victor, is the Supreme Court, frankly. The Supreme Court has said, and thank you very much for the call, the Supreme Court has said that if some cranky billionaire who, you know, fundamentally hates America in the version of America that we've seen since the 1930s, you know, the Franklin Roosevelt form of America with Social Security and Medicare, Lyndon Johnson, and Medicaid, and now Obamacare. If some cranky billionaire who hates that vision of America and wants a very different vision of America, wants America to look more like, well, there are no developed countries that don't have national healthcare systems, so I guess you'd have to go to, like, Somalia. So if you've got some billionaire who wants America to look more like Somalia, where there's no national healthcare system, there's no Social Security system, there's no Medicare system, you are completely on your own. And if you're not, you know, one of the oligarchs or one of the warlords, you're screwed. So if some billionaire wants to turn America into Somalia, according to the Supreme Court, that billionaire has every right, or a corporation, by the way, that would like to turn America into Somalia so that all of our labor is cheaper. And have you noticed that since Reagan's presidency, labor has been getting cheaper in the United States? In fact, just in the last couple of years, labor has been getting cheaper in the United States. Since the recession, wages have gone down 7%. So if you've got billionaires who want to see that, they want to see America poorer and poorer and have less and less of a social safety net, and in particular have their taxes be low so that they don't have to pay for all those poor people. The five right-wing justices, five male right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court have ruled in Citizens United in 2010, have ruled that that billionaire can set up a PAC, a political action committee, or that billionaire's corporation can set up a political action committee and route money in ways that will either lift up or destroy any politician that they choose. So they can own a politician and they can destroy a politician. And as a consequence of that, Washington, D.C., the politicians in Washington, D.C., live in absolute dread and fear of the, quote, Tea Party, end quote, which is, as I pointed out yesterday, really about 25 or 30 billionaires and multimillionaires funding 30 or so members of the House of Representatives and two senators in the United States Senate. And they all, and everybody else in Congress lives in just total fear of them, or at least all the Republicans do. The Democrats, not so much. Norma, in Montgomery, and therefore we have to amend the Constitution to say billionaires can't do that, and that's movetoamend.org. Norma, in Montgomery, we have a minute to the break. It's all yours. What's on your mind?
Oh, a minute's not enough, but I agree with you 100%. I wanted to let you know that here in Alabama, we're not getting the Affordable Care Act due to our governor, who used to be a dentist. People are, their main choice is going to be Blue Cross, which dominates the state by 96% of the insurance policies that are available, and The state will be paying them close to $40 million for the state, 90,000 state employees. They're saying that a 27-year-old man can get insurance with Blue Cross for $170.44. And a family that makes, a couple that makes $45,000 will be paying about $500, close to $600 actually. But have you ever wondered why they don't want people to have insurance first time go to the doctor and get blood work pulled?
Well, I have some theories. What's yours?
Huh?
I have some theories, but what's yours?
People have been eating GMs here in the United States for a long time, and it might show up the same way it did in France and Africa.
Okay. I'm not going down that road, but I think that the thank you, Norma, for the call. I think the reason they don't want Americans to have health care is they don't want Americans to believe that the government works. Because if the Americans believe the government doesn't work, then Americans are more likely to support things like deregulating banks.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
If Americans don't believe the government works, then Americans are more likely to go along with deregulating the oil companies. And that makes the oil billionaires and the bank billionaires a lot more money. It's Thursday. Let's get geeky science, right, on the dangers of fracking. Study after study has shown us just how dangerous fracking can be, but startling new information out of Pennsylvania should put to rest any remaining skepticism about the dangers of the natural gas extraction practice. Researchers at Duke University found elevated levels of radioactivity, salts, and metals in river water and sediments at a site where treated water from fracking operations was being released into a creek in western Pennsylvania. Avner Van Ghosh, professor of geochemistry and water quality at Duke, said radium levels were 200 times greater. Let me, by the way, note, radium is what killed Marie Curie, burned her hands off. She discovered radium. Radium levels were about 200 times greater, he said, in sediment samples collected where the Josephine Brine Treatment Facility discharges its treated wastewater into Blacklick Creek than in sediment samples collected just upstream of the plant. And Professor Robert B. Jackson, another of the Duke researchers, said that, quote, the radioactivity levels we found in sediments near the outflow are above management regulations in the United States and would only be accepted at a licensed radioactive disposal facility. Now, fracking wastewater is supposed to be treated so the dangerous chemicals are removed from it and it doesn't harm the environment, but typical treatment processes can't remove all the radioactivity, the salts, or the metals from the water. The researchers concluded that, quote, while water contamination can be mitigated by treatment to a certain degree, our findings indicate that disposal of wastewater from both conventional and unconventional oil and gas operations has degraded the surface water and the sediments. End of quote. The fracking industry says it does everything possible to mitigate the dangerous effects of fracking, but this new research is just the latest proof otherwise. So no matter what you hear, fracking isn't clean, and fracking is killing us. Chris in Ringgold, Georgia. Hey, Chris, thanks for watching Free Speech TV on the DirecTV satellite system. What's up?
Hey, Tom. I'm so glad to see that your show is up and running. I didn't know that this network had been on for a while, so I'm so excited. I just found it today.
Oh, great. Great.
But I had spoken with you a few months back, and you were so gracious and appreciative of my call, and you sent me a copy of your book, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
But my question is kind of based off of your last caller. I believe she was from Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, was that your last caller?
I'm sorry, I frankly don't remember, but what's
anyway,
your point?
Anyway, she was talking about the Blue Cross Blue Shield, like,
oh, yeah.
They were not allowed to get the Affordable Health Care Act in her state.
Yeah, they're getting the Affordable Health Care Act. What they're not getting is the Medicaid expansion.
Oh, okay.
And which means that really poor people are not going to be able to get free health care. In those states where they expanded Medicaid, if you're you know, below the poverty line, you get a health care program of, you know, that's free. And in those states where the Republican governor said, no, we're not going to take this free money from Washington, D.C., 100% paid for by Washington, D.C., we're not going to take it. In those states where those Republican governors turned down the money, poor people simply don't have access to health care, to health insurance.
Yeah, that's completely asinine, in my opinion. But
I think that's an appropriate word. Yes.
Anyway, my question is the fact that why don't they just come out and say why the Tea Party and the Republicans are so against the Affordable Health Care Act? The bottom line is the corporations. I think they're afraid that they're going to lose money, meaning the insurance companies. I think the American people, once they realize that it's going to work,
yeah,
you know, we're moving towards the whole universal health care talk. And so
I think it is moving in that direction, Chris. I don't disagree with you. I think, though, that the battle, the reason why these guys are willing to shed blood right now, I mean, you know, children being kicked out of cancer trials, children who have cancer being kicked out of treatment trials at the National Institutes of Health, as a result of John Boehner refusing to allow the House of Representatives to vote on a clean, continuing resolution. I think the reason why they're willing to draw blood over trying to stop Obamacare is because if Obamacare succeeds, then that proves to many so-called independent Americans, Americans who are not paying a lot of attention to politics, proves to them that government can do things right. And once you accept the notion that government can do things right, then it becomes a reasonable proposition to have government do things like have some oversight over the banking industry, the tobacco industry, the oil industry, the coal industry. And and it's billionaires principally from these industries who are funding the Tea Party and who are funding the politicians who are, you know, willing to lay down in front of the bus to stop Obamacare, who, or actually willing to throw a child in front of the bus to stop Obamacare. I think that this is a far more existential battle. This has to do with believing government works or believing government doesn't work. They've been telling us for years Social Security is going to go broke. It's not true. It's a big lie, but they want people to believe it. Not because they're, you know, not just because the banks want to get their hands on $2.7 trillion in the Social Security Trust Fund, but more importantly, because if people think Social Security works, then they think, oh, well, government can do things that work. Therefore, government should have some appropriate oversight over other things that the billionaires do. International trade policy, fracking, mining, oil drilling, and generation of electricity, all these things. And on the other hand, if people are convinced that Ronald Reagan was right and that government is not the solution, but government is the problem, then we need to get government out of the way, which means lower taxes on corporations, less regulation on corporations, which means more cancers for you and me and more failed, you know, exploding mortgages for you and me. But it means a lot more profit for the billionaires who are funding the Tea Party. I believe, Chris, that that is really what's going on.
Yeah. And too, you know, I mean, no wonder there's such disconnect between our in our political system and with the people just throughout the country, because we have all this. Well, I mean, a lot of people feel like our government has lied, and in a sense they have, because they're catering to the corporate world.
Well, it's been set up that way by the Supreme Court, and that's why we need to amend the Constitution to say that corporations aren't people and money isn't speech. But I'm with you. Chris, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Vi in Doniphan, Missouri. Hey, Vi.
Yeah, Tom. Good afternoon, Tom. I was out yesterday for the first time since the Affordable Health Care Act has started, and I was surprised at how very ignorant people in my state are about the benefits of this.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows a thing about it. It's like there's a complete news blackout.
Are the newspapers not talking about it?
No. There's not a billboard, there's not a postcard, there's nothing like that. I live in a little rural area, and I read in the Post-Dispatch this past Sunday that any state official or no state official could legally talk to the citizens of the state about the Affordable Health Care Act. The legislatures had passed a law about that earlier this year.
Wow. That's amazing.
And no one knows. I talked to two girls at the convenience store and the drug store who had never heard of healthcare.gov. The only place they were afraid they were going to be forced to buy insurance was from Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is astronomically high in this state.
Yeah. Amazing. Vi, it's a real tragedy. And this is how the conservatives are trying to sabotage Obamacare. And like I said, they're trying to do it because they cannot tolerate a government program working. Because if a government program works, that means government is good, not evil. And that means that it's okay to regulate the billionaires. And the billionaires who are behind this movement, like the Koch brothers who are funding this generation opportunity thing, where they're running these creepy Uncle Sam with the speculum ads, the Koch brothers, they run these paper mills, Georgia Pacific, they run these paper mills, and you know, hey, if they're more tightly regulated on the pollutants that they can emit, if they can't emit as many pollutants, it becomes more expensive for them. They make more profit if they can pollute more easily. Same with their refineries down in the Gulf that are going to get that oil from the Keystone XL pipeline. So this is an existential threat to billionaires becoming multi-billionaires. And that's why it's going on. Vi, thank you for the heads up from Missouri and for the, it's unfortunate, it's tragic, but thank you for that. David in Asheville, North Carolina, listening on 103.7 FM. David, we got just a minute to the break. A quick one?
Yeah, just a quick thing about the quick program we were just talking about a second ago.
Yeah, David, your phone is badly distorted. Is there anything
is
you can
better?
Do about that?
Is that better?
Yeah.
My roommate is on WIC, and it is most certainly for very specific items. She can get stuff like eggs, milk, cereal. The only thing that has any leeway is she's given a $10 voucher to use on produce. vegetables, fruit, et cetera.
So you can't buy candy and junk food with WIC?
Absolutely not.
You cannot. Okay. David, thank you for setting the record straight on that, because we had a caller yesterday who was quite outraged about this, and I didn't know, and I appreciate it. What about energy drinks and Pepsi kind of stuff?
No, definitely not. Colin, keep teaching the people, man. I'm a big fan.
Okay. I couldn't hear what you – I couldn't understand your last sentence, but apparently it was a no. Thank you very much for the call. 15 minutes before the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
15 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. We'll be back with more of your calls, my thoughts, and the news of the day. And the Talk Radio News Service is going to check in, too. Welcome back. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, brought to you by goatsfortheoldgoat.com. Ellen just back from South Sudan, where she runs that little charity, and it's the little charity that can. You really need to check out the website and learn about it. Ellen, big news on Capitol Hill today.
Very big news on Capitol Hill, and basically, as I understand from our sources, and I know you talked to Victoria and Justin, it started at the White House with somebody trying this alleged woman running a barrier, had at least one young child in the car, maybe two, we're not sure about that. There was a chase up to Capitol Hill near the Hart building. Apparently, and this is what my sources say, I don't know if it's yet come out in the news, she was shot in the head by the various law enforcement officers. So I don't think if she's on the planet, she's going to have some problems, and she may not be on the planet anymore. We don't know.
Yeah.
Very, very.
No idea about motive.
No idea about motive. But I'll tell you, you know, there's so much tension in this town. I don't need to tell you. You live in it as well as I do. That I'm not saying you're going to blame the shutdown and all that. I'm just saying this is a very tense town to be in. And if you have a low threshold for emotional distress, this is not a good time to be in this town.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Although at
some level, this is not a good time to be in America. I mean, we've got mass shootings going on all over the country.
That's right. That's right. And actually, I was in New York, I think yesterday, and there's in huge near Times Square, a very large bulletin board. It's actually near Penn Station, not Times Square. Sorry. With a picture of Gabby Giffords and her husband talking about now is the time to act, now is the time to get involved. So some other things did happen on Capitol Hill today before all of this. House Foreign Affairs had a hearing about the shootings and killings in Kenya. As you know, on my way to South Sudan, I've only been 17 times, not gone through Kenya. And I decided some strange reason not to go through Kenya. I've shopped in that shopping center. But basically, they are saying now that this kind of terrorism that we saw in Kenya can come to America. They're suspecting that it could come through Mexico, funnily enough. The person that really talked about this is Don Borelli. He now runs a group called the Sufan Group, but he used to be at the FBI's Joint Terrorism Group. They said that they also, Dana Rohrabacher, as you know, he's the surfer congressman from California, a Republican. He said that Twitter is allowing terrorist people on their accounts, and he went after Twitter in the hearing today.
Amazing.
I thought that's interesting. And, of course, this is juxtaposed to that story. I don't know if you read it today in the New York Times about a guy who started a secure website of which Edward Snowden was using, and he refused to give the encryption key to them. And so he basically had to shut down his business.
Yeah. And there were two of them, actually. I mean, the one that Ed Snowden was using, and then there was another one that was doing something similar. They both closed.
Right, and because people are not willing to deal with that. Okay, some other things going on. This is not from us, but I did think this was very interesting. The Daily Beast I, again, don't like to necessarily take other people's reporting, but when they do something interesting, I do like to report it. The Daily Beast is reporting that there is mutiny in the Republican National Committee, that they are saying that they cannot support the Tea Party anymore, and that they are going to withhold their pledges until there is unity in the Republican Party and until the Tea Party stops with this shutdown. And also yesterday, as you remember, I reported that there were 17 members who were going to be now voting with the Democrats to a clean continuing resolution. And those 17 Republicans have now been to 19. So slowly, I think they're going to get the numbers up to where they meant to get to and where they can absolutely sideline the Tea Party.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it. And but my understanding is that the motion to whatever the phrase is, move to consider or something like that,
right?
That can only be done on the second and fourth Monday of the month.
You know, I don't know that House rule. I have heard something like that, and I should look it up. I'm all these years in this town, I don't know that House rule, but it's true. Let me just go out with a couple other quick things if we have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, that the change CPI, that's a consumer price index. As you know, the Republicans are trying to get this change CPI. Elijah Cummings from the Black Caucus, also from Maryland, a good man. He actually made a very ambitious speech on this today, and several members of the Black Caucus actually joined and formed a human chain around, not totally around the Capitol, but partially around the Capitol, to show actually what a chained CPI could do. He actually is now saying that if you're a government employee, you're going to lose over a period of 10 years, the equivalent of about $13,000, and you're also going to take a hit from Social Security if you're entitled to that. And this is a huge income loss for people, particularly as people are now trying to get into the health care issues, et cetera.
Right. Bernie Sanders points out that a chain CPI will also hit veterans, and he's the chairman of the Veterans Committee in the Senate.
That's right. And also Elijah Cummings said today in a statement that these chain CPIs have absolutely no place in policy debates, that it is a compromise that the Republicans are trying to get to balance this on the back, essentially, of poor people instead of taxing, as you say, my favorite Dr. Tom Hartman word, the banksters.
There you go. Yeah. I think this is an existential battle. They want people to believe the government can't do anything right, and therefore government shouldn't even bother trying to regulate the banksters or the oil industry, because it's basically banking and oil billionaires who are funding the Tea Party. And if Americans believe, if Obamacare succeeds or Social Security succeeds, and Americans believe government can do something right, then Americans will also believe the government can appropriately regulate these industries. And that's why these guys are willing to go to the mattress, in my opinion. You think, Ellen?
I'm open.
Yeah. So, Ellen Ratner, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be right back with Mike Papantonio.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here, and welcome to the show. A lot of news today, and we're going to get right to it with Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire Radio and Ring of Fire TV as well in just a moment. His show here also on Free Speech TV. But before I do, I just wanted to let you know that OptimaTaxRelief.com are proud underwriters of the Tom Hartman Program. If people are facing back taxes, IRS liens, bank levies, there's more information at OptimaTaxRelief.com. And also, this is the time of year, this is the fall fund drive, where Free Speech TV is doing their fund drive, and I know, I believe KBCS, one of our Pacifica stations, is in the middle of a fund drive. There are a number of our Pacifica affiliates that at this time of year come to you, reach out to you, and say, will you please help out? So if you're listening to us on one of our Pacifica stations, if you're watching us on Free Speech TV, then please call the number that they typically give at the top of the hour and support them. You know, help them out. This is how these nonprofit stations survive. They need your help. So, and Mike Papantonio is with us. He is the host of Ring of Fire Radio. RingofFireRadio.com is the website. Also, Ring of Fire TV on Free Speech TV every Sunday. Hey, Pap, how you doing?
Tom, how are you?
Just great. So, by the way, the latest on this shooting here, the Washington Post is reporting that this is just kind of an isolated incident. Seems to be a lady who just, you know, out of control. Who knows what happened? But
yeah, the out of control part is what I'm wondering about. I mean, this could have been somebody who's on bad. I mean, we don't know. I mean, of course, the sensationalism begins immediately on the other stations. You know, she could have been on bad medication. She could have been disoriented. She could have been having a TMI, for God's sakes. And, yeah. And I'm anxious to know what would compel the security to kill her.
Yeah.
I don't think she had a gun. It's very bothersome to me, this story. However it comes out, I'd like to know those parts of the story.
Yeah.
It's very troubling.
We're going to follow it. There was a child in the car. I mean, it's not inconceivable. It was even that syndrome where women get depressed after childbirth.
Absolutely.
Who knows? We just this is all speculation. So,
yeah, it's so every bit of it is, and yeah, I wish the rest of the media would treat it like that.
Yeah. So let's move along from that. What's at the top of your list? The government shutdown. I'm guessing you've got some thoughts on that.
Well, I think the government shutdown is the case. I mean, it's impossible to talk about much except what's happening up in Washington. And then to further the point of what you and I have talked about so often, and that is, do the Republicans really care? And you have to land on the side that it doesn't appear that they do. And there's a reason for that, Tom. You keep hearing, well, this is really going to hurt the Republicans. This is going to just kill them in 2014. And it very well may where it comes to House elections. But obviously, you don't forget the gerrymander factor here. And you don't forget the fact that you have Republicans there that understand that there is not anything in play for them in their mind except a 50-state strategy where you control society, you control culture state by state. And so if there are people back home in southern Alabama or southern Mississippi or southern Texas or southern Georgia, if back home they think this is okay, that's the only audience that these real extreme Republican tea parties are playing to.
Yeah. You know, I in my theory on this, Pap, and I'd love to get your take on this, is that we have been seeing played out in America since the election of Ronald Reagan really an existential battle between those who think that government can do something good and therefore it's, you know, if government can actually be functional, it would be reasonable and appropriate for government to do things like regulate banks, regulate the oil industry, those kinds of things that actually diminish the profit for the banking billionaires and the oil billionaires who are largely funding the Tea Party, versus the idea that Reagan put forward that government can't do anything good, and this is why they and therefore why bother trying to regulate these people? In fact, let's deregulate them, and so that they can make more profit and they can poison more of us and have no oversight. What do you think?
Well, I think that's been in play obviously since the Nixon years when they started with the Southern strategy. They tried to figure out what are the vulnerable points that we can really make inroads to a voting population. One of them was race. Mm-hmm. Race was inextricably tied into government because there was always the argument that government is only there for the minorities. That was one of the issues that, you know, when you put them together, you start understanding what that mantra of no government means. No government means that government simply takes care of the ne'er-do-wells, the people who don't really add to society. If you remember the last election, we heard the makers and the takers. You remember that those words?
Yeah.
That's a new change to an old idea, and that is that government is always there only for the underclass, and therefore they are only there for the benefit of the underclass, and therefore it tied into the Southern strategy very well.
Right.
The Southern strategy built itself around that.
Right, and because of centuries of discrimination and slavery, There was a larger proportion of poor blacks than poor whites in the Deep South, and so they were basically just playing on racial resentment and economic resentment and paranoia on the part of whites in the South.
Did an interview yesterday with a fellow named Chauncey DeVega, a brilliant sociologist. He explained it this way. He said that in 40, 50 years ago, we heard that they were called useless eaters. That was genuinely the term that they referred to in a lot of the fascist organizations throughout the world. Wow. The useless eaters were the underclass that were a drag on the upper 1% or upper 2% of the population.
Amazing.
And in the way that they could just mentally disregard the importance of them was to call them useless eaters, people who take and don't make anything. And what Lee Atwater was so capable of doing was tying that kind of idea to race and to government. And so that when you hear anti-government in the South, that's what it's about. You drill down. It's race. Now, here we have a shutdown where we no longer have an EPA monitoring. We have no inspection of food. We have a government-funded clinical research is at a complete standstill. We have cuts to food programs, necessary food programs. National parks are closed. Missing persons are suspended. We have a damn hurricane in the Gulf that's going to hit somewhere, and we're going to need government to take care of those people. And so even in light of these things, that talking point, that 30-second talking point that was launched early on in the Southern strategy all the way back to Lee Atwater has just evolved and evolved to where you have legitimate politicians that have grown up with it, Tom. A generation has grown up with the idea of the useless eater, the maker and the taker dichotomy that they try to center around the value or the lack of value in government.
Yeah. And that is a benefit to oil and banking billionaires because, and why would they fund the politicians to bring the government
down?
Well,
because look, it's just BP. We're involved right now with BP. Had we had adequate regulations, we wouldn't have destroyed an entire ecosystem along the Gulf. Had we had adequate regulations, you wouldn't have had the Jamie Dimon types on Wall Street be able to shift $13 trillion away from the American economy towards Wall Street.
Right.
Regulations matter. And the way that you deconstruct regulations is to cut at the very feet of government. Because if you take government away, there's nobody there to regulate. Add to that, Tom, one other thing. It was a two-prong attack. One was we're going to attack government because they regulate. The other attack was we're going to take away the civil justice process because that's the only place in the world where an attorney and his client can stand up to corporate America who has more money than most third world countries. They've accomplished both.
Yeah, remarkable. Mike Papantonio, ringoffireradio.com is the website. Be sure and check it out. Pap, it's always good talking with you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for your insights. I do truly appreciate it. We'll be back. It's 15 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And, of course, you can learn all about Mike Papantonio's program, hear it, see it, over at ringoffireradio.com. Helping you in the water cooler wars, Tom Hartman here with you. Well, it turns out the woman who got killed by the police today, all the shots that were fired by law enforcement. She was shot dead for apparently reckless driving or some variation thereof. There was a child in the car, apparently, and she was driving a black Lexus, not a black SUV, as I had reported earlier. So that's what we know. And this may not be all that big a story. We'll see. So, Linda in Santa Monica, California. Hey, Linda, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Hi, am I finally on the air?
You are absolutely finally on the air.
Well, I'm very happy to meet you. And I just wanted to, first of all, nominate myself as your biggest fan since I watch your show 3 or 4 times a day.
Oh, my.
Through the art of channel surfing.
Uh-huh.
And so,
well, thank you.
And I find that listening to it over and over reinforces it in my brain. So my clean dishes thank you and are beholding to you.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk to you about this, about the Obamacare, and of course you absolutely are correct that the Republicans are trying to destroy it because they're afraid that it might show that government works. Mm-hmm. But you don't talk about the other part of the equation, which was the corporate profits, that it's protecting the corporate profits of the health industry and the HMOs. And there's a very famous story that Gore Vidal used to tell, and of course he was born into government royalty himself, and he met spoke to Hillary Clinton during their first term and warned her, and he's repeatedly told the story. He said, if you continue this, Hillary, because she was trying to pass a national health care program herself, he said, they are going to destroy you and attack your character. And thus the Monica Lewinsky scandal followed. So
along with a dozen others, along with dozens of others that they tried, that they tried to run up the flagpole. You're right.
Yeah, so, and of course Gore Vidal would know. And I had one more quick question for you. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to talk a little bit about the Founding Fathers, which of course were Freemasons. And
many of them, not all of them.
Yeah, several of them.
Jefferson was not a Freemason. Ben Franklin almost certainly was. George Washington definitely was. There's some debate about Hamilton. He probably was. James Madison almost certainly was not. So, yeah. But yeah. Washington's inauguration, was a Freemason parade. There are etchings of it here in Washington, D.C., where the different Masonic temples brought their lodge, banners and things for his inauguration.
Right. Well, certainly even somebody like Jefferson, who may not have been a member, certainly supported the belief that they had about being my brother's keeper.
Yes.
And government welfare. And I would like to hear you talk about that, or maybe do a show about, since the Founding Fathers were certainly in held the philosophy of the Freemasons of, helping the poor, and they defined promoting the general welfare as also public welfare. Mm-hmm. And I would like to hear you enumerate on that, about how the Founding Fathers would have believed, and any research that you know on what they actually said about having some kind of a social welfare system.
Well, the one thing I do know, Linda, and this is just a matter of public record, it's very easy to look it up, is that the first president of the United States to sign legislation having the federal government use tax money, federal tax money, back then it was mostly import tariffs, using federal tax money to pay for housing, food, and clothing, and medical care for poor people. The first president to sign that into law was George Washington. So,
wow.
He authorized a poorhouse, a home for the poor here in Washington, D.C., and the federal government paid for it. And that stood through the Washington administration, the John Adams administration, the Thomas Jefferson administration. And then when James Madison became president, in the first months of his presidency, Congress was being taken over then by Christians and by people who were overt Christians. Prior to then, it had been mostly the deists, the Masons, and the people who were very wary of Christianity. And, by 1809, I guess, when Madison took office, at that point, a Christian group in Congress passed a law saying that that poorhouse in Washington, D.C. would no longer be under the supervision of the federal government, that it would be under the supervision of the Presbyterian, it might have been the Congregationalist Church here in Washington, D.C., and that the federal government would continue to fund it, but the money would go to the church, and then the church would administer the poorhouse. And that vetoing that law was James Madison's first presidential veto. And in that veto, he said that establishing the precedent of the federal government giving money to churches to accomplish good public acts that should be done by the federal government would be a terrible precedent, and he was not going to allow it to happen. You can read his veto notice if you I've written about this. If you just Google or DuckDuckGo my name, James Madison, and veto, it'll pop right up. So the Founding Fathers were no strangers to the idea of caring for the poor. So, make sense?
Yes, it does. And
right.
I mean, it just irritates me that the Republicans, have this, I've got mine, now you get yours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's been with us from the founding, but it's never been the predominant thinking in America. Never has been. and shouldn't be now. Linda, thank you for the call. Rich in Aurora, Colorado. Hey, Rich, thanks for listening to AM 760. We just have a minute left, but I just got my...
Always a pleasure, Tom. Love your show. Awesome.
Thank you.
I'd piggyback also on a couple things. You know, I find it ironic that Bedtime for Bonzo said, the problem with government is it's too big, and then he turned around and ran for president.
Right, and then he tripled the size, of the deficit.
Ran it up to $2 trillion.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd piggyback on what Papantonio said was, you know, we have regulations. If we had regulations, you know, for guns and stuff as well, if we had licensing and if we had etchings on the bullets, you and I have talked about this before, you know, a psychiatric evaluation. And I'd also say it's all a business, infotainment, the media.
Yeah.
You know, you've got right-wing cuckoo media outspending progressive media like you guys, 10 to 1. So, you know, that lady who called from Missouri earlier, you know, they don't ever get anything. They get fat flush limp balls on 3 times a day.
Yeah, and you also wanted to talk about the WIC myth, and Rich, because we're out of time here, I'm going to come back on the break on the other side. I've got a WIC shopping guide here for the state of Minnesota. I will debunk it for you. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
And we'll be back. I will be telling you all about the lies that are being told about the WIC program, which is right now suspended because the government shut down. It's the good, the bad, and the very, very junketaciously ugly, the good. Kramer Books in Afterwoods, the Washington, D.C. bookstore and cafe, has joined up with other area stores to provide special deals in the wake of the ongoing government shutdown. As long as the government remains closed, anyone showing up at Kramer Books DuPont Circle store can get happy hour deals on drinks, no matter what time of the day they show up. There is a catch, though. Any congressperson who shows up has to pay double for their drinks. It were Kramer Books. Let's hope that making Congress people double up, pay double for their drinks will make them double down on doing their job and, you know, actually govern the country. The bad! Steve King. During an appearance on CNN's New Day this morning, the Tea Party congressman lit into President Obama and accused President Obama of, quote, throwing a tantrum, end quote, because he won't give in to the Republican demand to delay or defund Obamacare. Check it out.
But we need to get down to the clear part of this. The American people have rejected Obamacare. The president is willing to put all of that on the line to save his namesake piece of legislation, which I think could go down in history as the largest political tantrum ever.
Actually, it's Congressman King, along with the rest of the Tea Party, who's throwing the tantrum. Obamacare, like it or hate it, is the law. And when the American people reelected President Obama last fall, they agreed to it. And for better or worse, it's a solution to our health care crisis. That's something Republicans have never offered. And the very, very ugly ACT Memphis. The Tennessee right-wing organization finds itself in hot water today after displayed anti-Obama poster at a Memphis family fun fair that called the president a Muslim and accused him of being behind the 9/11 attacks. WMC-TV had this story for local TV. Here it is.
Among dozens of other booths, this one stood out. It was sponsored by ACT Memphis, part of a national nonpartisan group concerned about the threat of radical Islam. This was their display at the fair, a picture of fiery World Trade Center towers on September 11th next to President Barack Obama.
There's really no excuse for displaying that kind of hateful nonsense at a family event. Everything about what ACT Memphis did is very, very ugly. That's mind-bogglingly ugly. Okay, WIC. A listener sent me a copy of the Minnesota shopping guide. Another person sent me the Arkansas shopping guide. I've gotten several from around the country now. You can stop sending them. Thank you. Mark Twain said, a lie can get halfway around the world before the truth gets its boots on. A woman called our program yesterday and said that she had seen, she implied she, I assumed, I can't say she applied, but I assumed that she worked as a cashier in a store, because she said she saw it all day, every day, constantly, or words to that effect, seeing people using WIC funds, Women, Infant, and Children funds. This is the program for very poor and at-risk women and infants and children. that provides food for them. And this program is in suspension right now as part of the government shutdown ordered by John Boehner when he refused to hold a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives on whether or not to fund the government. And she said, oh, these people are buying candy, they're buying junk food, they're buying energy drinks, they're buying, soda pop. And I really didn't know how to respond. I've never been on WIC, and I didn't know the details of WIC, and I should have known the details of WIC, and I apologize to you all for letting her go on and on like that and not having a rebuttal. But here's the good thing about what happens when people call into a program like this and spout things that are wrong. And I don't know if she was intentionally speaking wrongly or if it was just a mistake, because in a lot of states, if you're using WIC money, you can buy all kinds of stuff. Let's say you've got $20 worth of WIC money and you buy $40 worth of food. If you buy, candy and soda pop, when you get to the cash register, the cash registers are smart now. They know what the barcodes are reading, and the cash register will throw the candy and the soda pop into the part that you pay for with your cash, and it will throw the actual food into the part that you pay for with your WIC funds. Same thing with SNAP. So, for example, the Minnesota food, they got fresh fruits and vegetables, what you can buy. They give a list of them. Fresh fruit is allowed. What is not allowed? Items from the, say what? Oh, I'm sorry. What is not allowed is items from the salad bar, party trays, fruit baskets, decorative fruits and vegetables, no dried fruit, no nuts, including peanuts, fruit, nut mixtures, frozen food, fruit. Certain types are allowed. Organic is allowed. Not allowed, nothing with sugar, nothing with artificial sweeteners like Splenda, no other ingredients. It has to be pure fruit, period. Same thing with the canned fruit. Nothing, you cannot buy any canned fruit that has added sugar or anything like that. It must be 100% fruit. You get to the vegetables, it's the same thing. You can only buy pure vegetables. Whether they're fresh, frozen, or canned, they have to be pure. They can't have anything added to them. 100% juice. It has to be literally 100% juice. And they list the different brands and things that are 100% juice. And then not allowed, no fruit juice blends, no juice cocktails, no fresh squeezed juices, no juices other than the flavor varieties listed, no diet juices, no juices with artificial sweeteners, and so obviously no soda pop, right? And then grains, they cover tortillas and bread, whole wheat bread, things like that, not allowed. No frozen bread dough, no take-and-bake products, no wraps or flatbreads or pita breads. I mean, it goes on and on. I go through this whole thing. But basically, the only things you're allowed to buy with WIC money are things that those of us on the extreme end of the health food movement, like Louise and I, who've been vegan, vegetarian, bounced back and forth between the two for all the 4 decades we've been married, and would eat. It's like, I mean, there's even things that I eat that I can't buy on WIC. You can't buy jams and jellies. You can't, you just can't do it. So the WIC program is like, really, seriously, this is for people at risk, and it's going to be 100% good nutrition, period, end of sentence, full stop. So that's why it's, I guess, in a fun and funky kind of way, it's a good thing that somebody calls up the program and blows out some disinformation, because we've gotten, 5-6 calls on this thing. I've gotten emails. We've got people in the chat room. We've got people talking, posting over on our blogs, posting on our message boards. And I got it, and I got to rant about it and spent a whole lot more time correcting the record than the original person who was complaining about basically, welfare moms and Cadillac moms, or Cadillac welfare ladies, the Ronald Reagan's story that turned out to be a lie. There was no woman driving a Cadillac with a bunch of different, welfare accounts. The New York Times spent years looking for her. They never found her. Reagan just made her up. Abby in Chicago, listening on WCPT. Hey, Abby, what's up?
Hi, Tom. First time talker. In regards to WIC, honestly, we had to use it for really unexpectedly. And the first time I used it, the first thing my reaction was I was absolutely surprised how healthy the selection were.
Right.
I'm a healthy eater, and I hope like my kids will be the same way. And honestly, I was encouraged a government program would do such a thing. Two, we had another unexpected pregnancy, and I was sick at that time, so I wasn't able to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to go again on WIC. and that helped us tremendously on saving budget and our money. I mean, it just helps family who are in desperate need, that sometimes what else can we do?
Yep.
I needed help. And as a, you know, and also they, I remember like a while ago they said, oh, they don't allow women. They support, unhealthy breastfeeding mom or supporting, you know, not breastfeeding, you know, kids. But actually WIC does provide and actually give you some classes and asking you, and they provide all the resources to encourage breastfeeding, which is obviously healthy for the baby. And also they give, a, you know, a nutritionist for the mom as well.
Yeah, there's a whole page in the Minnesota WIC shopping guide about the value of breastfeeding, and they do not pay for infant formulas. Instead, there's a whole, whole page about
you must
breastfeed.
Yeah, and you know, another thing people don't realize, I remember a couple of years ago when I was on WIC, they provided coupons to help farmers. When you go, help you to go to the farmer's market where you buy really fresh produce.
Yeah.
And that just make it even better for who the people who are looking to feed their kids healthy stuff.
Yeah.
And I think what the lady was talking about, and I just, I'm not sure, but I think maybe she was speaking on links, because links, I think they give you more of a, you know, cash basically to buy. I'm not sure if it's allow you to buy whatever. There is, I don't think it was regulated as WIC.
Yeah.
So in that department, you know, in that section of what she was talking about, I think.
Yeah, there are other programs, and they vary from state to state, so it may have been. Abby, thanks a lot for calling and for verifying all this with me. I appreciate it. I have just a minute left. I want to get Phil in here. Listening on 760 AM, you took umbrage at my describing this woman as being shot for reckless driving. That, I will say right up front, Phil, that was probably not the appropriate thing to say, but your turn.
Yeah, you're, you know, Tom, I learn from you every day, and it struck me you're way too smart a guy to make a comment like that, knowing what we know right now. I worked as a photojournalist in television for some 25 years, and many, many times saw incidents where cars were used as weapons.
Right.
And
this car, though,
was
trying to go through barriers at the White House and the Capitol building. Why didn't they shoot out her tires?
Oh, that's, Tom, I also know that you use handguns occasionally in a target sense.
I've never tried to shoot a tire. Does it not work?
Well, either has a police officer. That's something that Mannix does on TV.
I see. Okay. So you kill the person, not the car.
It stops the car, doesn't it? It keeps the car from killing three police officers behind the barricade.
Right. Okay. You know, Phil, I don't entirely disagree with you. I will say at the same time, I think that very often in this society, our law enforcement is a little too quick to pull a gun.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I mean, you had that case in New York a while ago where, what, four or five bystanders got wounded because the police discharged like 40, 50 rounds. Welcome back. The Washington, D.C. police are calling the shooting today here in D.C. an isolated incident. So I think we can kind of move on back to why won't John Boehner allow his own Republicans in the House of Representatives to vote on whether or not the government should go back to functioning as a government? Why not? He's obviously terrified by the Tea Party, a.k.a. the billionaires. Is he terrified that he will lose his speakership? I talked with Alan Grayson yesterday about that, and he said, you know, he's got these great big offices. Was that Alan Grayson who was telling us that, or was that Mark Pocan? It was another member of Congress, Peter DeFazio, maybe? Yeah, it might have been DeFazio. In any case, a member of Congress yesterday was telling us. We had one on the radio and one on TV. Was telling us how, you know, as Speaker of the House, he's got this great, big, fancy office and all this cool stuff and all these perks, and he gets to play golf with the president. And, you know, he's like, you know, he's third in line for the presidency. I mean, that's a big deal. So, say what? Yeah, okay. It was Alan Grayson last night on the TV show. Mark in Minneapolis, listening on KTNF. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm great, but I'll get better, Mark. How about you?
You go. I've been listening to you for many, many years. I got an important question to ask you, and I can take my answer offline so you can go and get to other callers. My first question is this, how does we have a system of checks and balances in our government. We have a legislative branch and an executive branch. And is there a check on when the legislative branch gets a little wacky like this? Is the executive branch and the judicial branch get something?
No, there is no check. The founders, when they wrote the Constitution, they wanted to make sure. Now, and let me follow my logic train on this, Mark. They wanted to make sure that the agency of government that had the greatest power, that is the power to tax, the power to spend, the power to declare war, the greatest power, that that branch of government was elected every 2 years. So it was the most accountable to the people themselves, to paraphrase Thomas Jefferson. Now, at that time, at the time the Constitution was written, there was not a single person in the United States who had a net worth greater than $1 million in today's money. Even the wealthy back then were what today, you know, we would consider McMansion upper middle class, right? I mean, you know, if you've ever been to Monticello, it's startlingly small, actually, Thomas Jefferson's house, compared to the homes of just country squires in the United Kingdom or in France. So they just never envisioned a day when the wealthy would own politicians. So now fast forward 230 plus years and you've got the Supreme Court over 100 years carefully constructing this doctrine of oligarchy, that really wealthy, powerful people and the corporations that make them rich have rights under the Constitution. Their corporations have rights under the Bill of Rights that were obviously intended to get for you and me and not for corporations. And that free speech protection talked about in the First Amendment, that free speech protection actually means the right of a billionaire to spend unlimited amounts of money building up or tearing down a politician. The consequence of that, of course, is that we now have a Congress that is bought and paid for and that is dancing to the tune of a handful, maybe fewer than 30 billionaires here in the United States. This is something that Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all those guys are rolling over in their graves right now. Making sense, Mark?
I got a question. My question goes on to the next thought, and this is what's been bugging me so much. If there is no checks against this kind of nonsense going on, then what's the end game?
The end game is oligarchy.
The end game is saying, you know, I want everybody in America to bow down and profess their love for Jesus Christ. I want all the gays moved away. I want all the blacks back. There's no limit to what they can do.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the you know, everybody bowing down to Jesus, this is how the people whose real agenda is economic get enough people to vote for the people who do their bidding that they can get their economic agenda passed, is they have those people proclaim themselves to be deep and profound Christians, deep and profound lovers of the military, deep and profound, defenders of the right to own a gun and hunting and fishing and all that manly man stuff. And hating those pointy-headed liberals and who you go to college, God forbid. And when, in fact, most of these billionaires, virtually all of these billionaires went to college. So this is what in the book, What's the Matter with Kansas? I mean, this is the answer to the question. What's the matter with Kansas? Billionaires. So that's the end game is oligarchy or fascism, Mark. It absolutely is. You're spot on right. Bob in Marseille, Illinois, listening to WCPT. What's up, Bob?
Yeah. Boy, you've only got 5 minutes left, which means I don't even have that.
I got about two and a half minutes left. Yeah, go for it.
Basically, Charlie Rangel was way too easy on Boehner. He is the only man responsible. He's the only man that can cure the situation. And it's not the fact that he's being held hostage. He has got one of two problems. He has either got no moral turpitude whatsoever, and I'm not going to accuse him of that. I think he might be human. But if that's not the case, he's got a total lack of cojones, 100%.
Yeah. Well, I think, Nancy Pelosi said if he was a woman, he would be being called the weakest speaker in the history of the United States. And even as a man, he's the weakest speaker in the history of the United States. I think that's right. Bob, thanks for the call. Richard, we got 30 seconds. You wanted to talk about Pastor Rick in Wheat Ridge, Colorado?
My goodness, that doesn't give me much time, but okay. What can I say? Pastor Rick, well, these guys, like Pastor Rick, 8 years of Bush-Cheney, and they're working a peep out of them. It didn't matter. We were attacked on 9/11. They didn't complain.
They didn't complain. When Bush said, I'm not even going to go after bin Laden, there was no complaint. It was no, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. There was no complaint when we lost trillions of dollars and lives, thousands of lives in Iraq. No complaint. But as soon as Barack Obama appeared on the scene, oh, Obama, oh, it's the end of the world.
I know. It's a, you know, God forbid there's a black man in the White House. I really believe that is at the root of at least half of all this stuff. Richard, thank you for the call. Thanks so much. And tomorrow, Brunch with Bernie. And you're invited. America's Senator. Senator Bernie Sanders will be here talking about the important issues of the week, taking your calls in our national town hall meeting. Plus, Wall Street is at it again, looting the pension funds of public workers. We're going to talk to Rolling Stones' Matt Taibbi. Plus, it's Anything Goes Friday. And don't forget, democracy begins with you, not a spectator sport. You got to get out there, get active, and occupy something. Tag your in. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to TomHartman.com.